From Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, a National Security Council meeting is convened over North Korea's planned satellite launch. A Japanese warship flying the controversial Rising Sun flag enters Busan for a multinational maritime drill. And 11 South Korean planes are to leave for Guam on Monday to fly out thousands of Korean nationals from the Pacific Resort Island as the airport resumes operations. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Daniel Che. A National Security Council Standing Committee meeting was convened on Monday following the North's notification of a planned satellite launch. At the meeting, presided over by National Security Advisor Cho Tae-yong, the National Security Office briefed President Yoon Suk-yeol on the planned launch and discussed response measures. Foreign Minister Park Jin, Unification Minister Kwon Yong-se, Defense Minister Lee Jong-sup, and NIS Director Kim Kyu-hyun, among others, took part in Monday's meeting. Early in the day, it was reported that North Korea notified Japan of its plans to launch a satellite between Wednesday and June 11th. Later in the day, South Korea's foreign ministry warned the North of its planned satellite launch, saying it is an illegal act. The foreign ministry said the launch of the satellite is a serious breach of the United Nations Security Council resolutions banning any North Korean launch utilizing ballistic missile technology, which cannot be justified in any way. The ministry warned Pyongyang such a launch would threaten peace in the region and urged the regime to immediately cancel its plans, stressing that should the North proceed with a launch, it will face consequences. The ministry also mentioned that South Korea would firmly respond to the North's provocations through cooperation with the international community, based on close coordination between South Korea, the U.S., and Japan. Meanwhile, Washington has reaffirmed its position that Pyongyang's planned satellite launch is a breach of U.N. Security Council resolutions. A spokesperson for the U.S. Department of Defense told a local news outlet that any North Korean launch utilizing ballistic missile technology, including those related to the use of space launch vehicles, amounts to violations of multiple UNSC resolutions. The spokesperson said the U.S. urges the North to refrain from additional illegal activities and engage in serious and sustained diplomacy. In Japan, Chief Cabinet Secretary Hirokazu Masuno held a press conference on Monday and said the North's decision to fire a missile poses a threat to peace and stability in the international community, calling the North's move a serious provocation. While UNSC resolutions target the North's nuclear and missile programs, rockets used for satellite launches are viewed as employing the same technologies as those for launching intercontinental ballistic missiles. A Japanese destroyer flying the controversial Rising Sun flag entered the port of Busan on Monday to attend a multinational maritime drill to be held in international waters near Jeju Island this week. The JS Hamagiri, sent by Japan's Maritime Self-Defense Force, arrived at the Busan Naval Base at around 9:30 a.m. Monday, 2 days before the Eastern Endeavor 23 Maritime Interdiction Exercise kicks off. The Japanese warship was carrying the Rising Sun flag, the official ensign of the MSDF, as announced earlier by Japanese Defense Minister Yasukazu Hamada, who sought to justify the use of the flag citing domestic laws. The Japanese military flag is regarded by South Koreans and Asian countries as a symbol of Japan's wartime aggression and militarism in the first half of the 20th century. The Moon Jae-in administration urged Japanese warships to refrain from flying the controversial flag during an international fleet review hosted by the South Korean Navy in 2018, but Japan refused to take part in protest. Seoul's Defense Ministry spokesperson Chun Ah-kyu earlier indicated that the Yoon Suk-yeol administration will not take issue with it, saying flying official ensigns by warships is a universal practice. Meanwhile, Eastern Endeavor 23 will be held on the occasion of a high-level meeting of the Proliferation Security Initiative to be held for the first time in South Korea from Tuesday. A total of 7 ships and 6 aircraft from South Korea, the U.S., Japan, and Australia will take part in the multinational drill. Thousands of South Koreans stranded for days in the U.S. territory of Guam due to a typhoon-induced airport shutdown are expected to start returning home from Monday. According to Seoul's foreign ministry on Monday, a total of 11 South Korean airplanes are scheduled to leave for Guam later in the day, as arranged by the Land Ministry to fetch up to 2,500 Korean nationals from the Pacific Resort Island. This comes as the Antonio B-1 Pat International Airport in Guam is set to resume services at 3 p.m. on Monday, about a day earlier than initially scheduled, according to the Foreign Ministry. The South Korean airplanes are expected to arrive in Guam on Monday or Tuesday, with the earliest one to return to Incheon International Airport at 8:40 p.m. Monday. Around 3,400 South Korean nationals have been left stranded in Guam since the Category 4 typhoon Mawar, the most powerful storm passing the region in the past several decades, slammed the island last Wednesday. South Korea is set to hold its first-ever summit with Pacific Island countries on Monday. President Yoon Suk-yeol will meet in Seoul with the top leaders of over 10 countries in the region, including the Cook Islands, Papua New Guinea, Fiji, Palau, and the Marshall Islands. To be held under the theme of Navigating Towards Co-Prosperity, Strengthening Cooperation with the Blue Pacific, the summit will likely discuss deepening Seoul's commitment to the region based on its Indo-Pacific strategy amid the region's growing geopolitical and economic importance. While other possible agenda items include cooperation and resources, development and maritime affairs and fisheries, as well as regional political situations, Japan's planned release of water from the Fukushima nuclear plant may also be discussed with the island countries to be directly affected by it. Around 10 top leaders from the Pacific Island nations and other senior officials representing the 18-member Pacific Islands Forum have been visiting South Korea for the summits. South Korea has established formal diplomatic relations with the Pacific Island country of Niue. According to Seoul's Foreign Ministry on Monday, Minister Park Jin and Dalton Tagalagi, the Premier and Foreign Minister of Niue, signed an agreement initiating official bilateral ties during an event in Seoul early in the day, held on the sidelines of the Korea-Pacific Islands Summit. With a population of around 1,600, Niue is not an official member of the United Nations, but is an active member of the World Health Organization and UNESCO. South Korea has now forged formal relations with 192 countries. The only countries with which South Korea does not have diplomatic ties are Kosovo, Syria, and Cuba. Starting Thursday, students who test positive for COVID-19 will be advised to stay at home for 5 days. The Education Ministry on Monday announced revised guidelines on school quarantine measures to take effect from June, following the earlier downward grading of the national crisis level for the virus from the highest serious to alert. Currently, elementary, middle, and high school students infected with COVID-19 are banned from attending classes for 7 days. To minimize the impact of quarantine measures on students' attendance record, those unable to attend class due to the virus will not be marked as absent. Infected students who need to come to school for inevitable reasons will be required to take additional measures, such as wearing a mask and minimizing contact with other people. Basic quarantine measures such as ventilation during class and disinfection in populated school areas will remain in place. South Korea has moved past the group stage of the FIFA U20 World Cup without a loss. Led by coach Kim Eun-jung, the Taegu Warriors held Group F leader Gambia to a 0-0 draw during the third and final group match at Estadio Malvinas Argentinas in Mendoza in Argentina on Sunday. The draw followed South Korea's 2-1 victory against France and 2-2 draw with Honduras and completed Korea's runner-up finish in the group following Gambia, who won twice. With two best teams from each group advancing to the round of 16, South Korea had already secured its third consecutive berth to the knockout stage before playing the African side, after Japan confirmed its third-place finish on 3 points. South Korea, the 2019 edition runner-up, will face Group B runner-up Ecuador in the knockout stage to be held at 6 a.m. Friday in Korea time. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Center in Seoul. I'm Daniel Chess, signing off.